Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in the name of Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Our text is the lesson just read, with particular focus on Jesus' words, "He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially those of you who have received your vicarage assignments, and those of you who tonight will receive your calls. Call day is an electric moment, isn't it? Few other callings have such a focused point where years of labor and preparation come down to a single sentence in shaping your future. Permit me to say that you are doing it in a context that has improved from that far away period when I was in your place. For instance, in making our request for vicarage assignment, they gave us three slots. And having come from the Midwest, we thought it'd be great to see the kingdom elsewhere. We put the Pacific coast first, the South second, and the Atlantic coast third. Call night came, and as I stood and awaited that sentence, I heard Zion Lutheran Church, Wausau, Wisconsin. One of my good friends, the son of a notable clergyman, was in that line, and when he came up, he heard San Luis Obispo, California. And my fallen nature went to work, but as it turned out, I had a magnificent year, and he had a very challenging year. Or when it comes to the process tonight of receiving calls. In that far-off period, we would have the worship service, and then we would be dismissed to rooms in adjacent classrooms where a box would be in place with the dean, and family would gather and friends, and then we'd hear the name and the place. So, for example, John Adams would receive his call to Hilo, Hawaii. And there'd be pandemonium, shouting, jubilation, all sorts of excitement. The next man, John Brown, called to Stanton, Missouri, would walk up in a very quiet atmosphere. Clearly, we are all children of Adam and Eve, and understandably interested in such matters. But in the ministry, our text calls us to something more. Our text draws us to the real and remarkable location that each and every person will be called to tonight. And what is that location? Quite simply, and it's the same everywhere, to a culture that is surrounded and enwrapped in the shrouds of death. Each and every one of you will, like Jesus facing the Sadducees, face a culture that denies the resurrection, that increasingly says, we're here today and we're gone tomorrow, and what difference does it make? And it's not just the ordinary person who is saying that. The prestigious professors of Harvard and Yale or Princeton herald that as the plight of human beings. And tragically, they're believed. Well, in Jesus' day, the Sadducees had drunk deeply of such cynicism. And their questions about the multiple wives really disguised their conviction that there was no more. Indeed, that view was prevalent across the Mediterranean world. A recent epitaph from that world goes like this: "Here lies Epimenides, I never married, and I wish my father never had." You go to a culture that is marked by death. In the 70s, there was an ethicist at Princeton University called Paul Ramsey. He defended the sanctity of life before birth and in its last days. Today, in that same chair of ethics, there's a great honor, irony in that a Dr. Singer now defends the right of parents to end the lives of their, quotes, defective children, up until some months. And it's pervasive. Post 9/11, there is more uncertainty. And if our government is right, we can expect more tragic terrorism. Think of how that will unsettle and unsettle our people more when, if the Wall Street sages topple and there's less security, they will be seeking some place to escape the cycle of violence and death and despair that has gone into every nook and cranny of our culture. They will be looking for a word that is clear and truthful and alive. And you can, good seminarians, by God's grace you will, announce the God who is alive, and you will confess that all who live in him, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are all alive. For Jesus Christ took our death into himself. The death of all of us was extinguished in his crucifixion, and now has given us life in his glorious resurrection. The content of our message and the character of our lives, I would suggest, are qualitatively different. We just live differently than the culture of death, for we see God's life as that reality that grounds all others. The objective and the complete work of Jesus Christ for all of fallen humanity is not a pipe dream. It's not a myth. But we, by God's grace, are living out that truthful reality of the life that Jesus' resurrection bestows. We need to pause, I would suggest, and reflect about what we are doing. We have something that this world desperately needs, and at its best longs for. And we can speak about it in the first person, because this life was bestowed upon each of us in our baptism. It was guided by the voice of Christ through his prophets and apostles, and nurtured and fed in his holy body and blood. Again, we need to pause. We are not like the rest of those sages who have no word but little words that end in death. We have that great word that is delivered by God's grace in Christ, and now we are defined by it. We are one with the one who was at creation, who came to take our flesh in the incarnation, and whom we will meet in the great consummation of the age. The life of God, the life of the blessed and holy Trinity, is now the fountain of our life, and it's that life that you bring to your people. Every heartbeat, every breath, are now lived in Christ, and therefore are not flimsy moments that end in death, but enduring witness to God's mighty act. The real exciting narrative of our culture is not at Princeton, not at Harvard, not at Wall Street, but it's in the parishes that you will go to serve, and in the life of God's baptized people. You go as heralds and shepherds of life, that abundant life that Christ came to freely bestow. Your baptisms, your sermons, your celebrations of the Eucharist, all these are brilliant shafts of life and light in a culture that is dark and dying. And it's an inviting light. You need to recommend it with all the strength that God will give you. It's qualitatively different than any other word that's out there. Reflect on it daily, this wonderful gift of holding up Christ crucified as the life of each and every penitent. As we sing, "Angels help us to adore him. You behold him face to face. Sun and moon bow before him, all who dwell in time and space. Alleluia, alleluia, praise with us the God of grace." Wherever God places you, good brothers, know that there is life in you, life in the font, life in the pulpit, life at the altar, because Christ is there in his word and sacraments, freely offering, freely bestowing. You have experienced it. You can confess it. Your own baptism, your life at this altar, your life in his nurturing word. These are realities that are truthful and beautiful and holy. And those who are the walking dead out there and those who are the dying will meet by God's grace you and hear the word of Christ through you. Your words then become words of life, for your very life displays the light of Easter's victory. God go with you, and God bless you in that holy calling. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.